All right. That's good. That's good. Hey, I am so excited for what we have in store for us today. I believe God has a word for us. We have an incredible guest speaker in the house today. And Pastor Jonathan, thank you so much for being with us today. We are excited to have you. I promise you guys are going to get something from this. Fathers especially, this is a man who pours into fathers, mothers, he pours into the nuclear family. And I'm excited for today. Thank you so much for being with us. And so, yes. Pastor Jonathan Brozazog has an incredible church in Minnesota, called Creative Church. And we are so blessed and honored to have him in the house with us today. Incredible man of God, incredible father, also an author. And he speaks with intentionality and such wisdom. Last night, we were able to have dinner with him. And I was just soaking up the wisdom, enjoying that time with you, your team, your sons. We're glad to have them here with us too. But Church Unlimited, can we please give a warm welcome to the incredible man of God who's going to be bringing us the word today, Pastor Jonathan Brozazog.
Thank you so much. Wow, come on, let's give Jesus a praise now. Come on, this is for the Lord. Come on, don't you love Jesus? Man, I'm so honored to be here with you. How many of you ever been to Minnesota? Has a couple people been to Minnesota? A few of you, okay. Every time you open your freezer, think of me, pray for me. But I'm so honored. Now, how many of you love your pastors? We love your pastors, your church, the vision that God has given your pastors. They're such a gift, and God could have placed them anywhere, but he gave them to you. And I'm so thankful for the chance to be here today. And my family sends their love. My wife sends her love. I actually brought a picture of my family. I wanted to introduce you to them and all of our kids. They'll put that up for me. And we actually have 8 kids. And I don't even like kids. I like my wife, but we've got 8 kids. I'm kidding. Totally kidding. But let's see. We've got 19, 16, 14, 12. She's 9 or 10, and 7, the twins are 4, and I'm going to learn all their names next. That's their ages, and my wife's going to heaven no matter what. Give them all a big God bless you. So they send their love. And so let's just kick this off with prayer. That's the right place to start, right? So, Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, thank you that we just get a chance to gather and be together and learn from you, learn from your word. And God, I ask that as I speak privately, Lord, that your spirit would speak privately to every heart and every life, that we would leave changed and renewed by your grace and by your strength. We all want to be more like you in Jesus' name. Come on, one more time. Give the Lord a big praise all over the house. And I'm just going to preach from my book today called Raising Parents, because some of you know we don't need any more grown people that act like children, right? We're raising a future mom, a future dad, a future leader, a future businessman or woman, and minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And hey, let's honor all the dads again. Come on, all the dads, give them a big God bless you. We love you, fathers. You matter in the home, and we're going to talk about the home team because winning begins at home. My wife and I just decided years ago we don't want to win everywhere but home. Winning begins at home. Amen? I guess a great place to start would be talking about my wife and I. We had not been married very long at all before we decided we wanted to start a family. And so my wife, she went to the doctor and actually came home. She was crying. She was very upset. And I said, what's going on? And so she said, well, the doctor was concerned about whether or not she'd even be able to have children. So clearly this doctor knew nothing about what they were talking about. And so, but I remember she was distraught. I said, well, let's just go out to dinner. And so I remember really clear, we went to Applebee's that night. And there was a pet store in the strip mall next to Applebee's. And I don't even know if they still do this anymore, but do you remember when you could go in and look at the puppies behind the plexiglass and stuff? So we went in there, and I ended up making the worst financial decision of my adult life, which was to buy a dog, because this dog lived forever. It lived forever. We bought this dog, and we said we didn't want the dog to chew up everything and eat up everything, so we said we should send the dog away for training. And so we sent the dog away for training, and about a week before we were to pick the dog up, they called me and said, we need you to come in for training. And I said, no, just train the dog. And they said, no, we have to train you. I said, why do you have to train me? They said, well, if we don't train you, you'll destroy all the training we've given the dog. And I remember looking at my wife and I said, isn't this something? You know, if we need training for a dog, we absolutely need training when it comes to being a parent. And so, you know, everybody knows how to be a parent until they're a parent. Everybody knows how to be a dad till they're dad. Everybody knows how to be a mom till they're a mom. Everybody knows how to be a leader till they're a leader. It's kind of like Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. How many of you have had life or parenting punch you in the face at some point and mess up your wonderful little plans? And so you don't have to parent very long before you realize, I'm going to need a divine strategy from God for every single one of my children. Let all the parents say amen. And so, you know, you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need you to really speak to me about how to be a mom, how to be a dad, how to be effective when it comes to being a parent. And we don't want to wing it when it comes to parenting, because it's going to be one of the most challenging, the most important thing you ever do in your life. And so when it comes to that, we want to look to the Word of God. How many of you believe the Scriptures are true, right? We want to look to the Bible. And so Proverbs 4 and 5 says, get wisdom. Everybody say, get wisdom. And then it says, get an understanding. Everybody say, get an understanding. You got to have an understanding when you're raising teenagers. I got four of them. Lord Jesus, help me. You know, it's one thing when you're talking to your kids and they're real little and you're like, you need to clean your room. You got to change your clothes. And they're little and it makes sense. They're little. You're looking down. But when they're 6'3" and you got to look up like, hey, you got to clean your room. All right. You got to change your clothes here. You know, this is, and they're, it's like, Lord, I need your wisdom. You know, and you got to have grace. Everybody say grace. Age-appropriate grace. Because you got to remember, these are not deadbeat adults. They're teenagers. They're a work in process. And Lord, I need you to give me grace, even if they're taller than me. Somebody say amen about it. And so you got to look to the Scriptures. And then Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, that when they are old, they won't depart. How many of you ever heard that verse, right? Train them up when they're young, says something about the beginning. That when they're old, they won't depart, says something about the end. It says nothing about the messy middle. Now, how many of you like me at some point messed up in the middle? Oh, look at y'all. I'll wait for you to be honest. On behalf of us reformed sinners, how many of you like me somewhere messed up in the middle? The Bible already told on you, says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So, but look at you back in God's house on Sunday morning. Look at you, because God's word is true. Raise your hand if you grew up going to Sunday school. Anybody went to Sunday school? How many of you remember the felt boards? Explain that to a teenager. How many of you remember the overhead transparency machines, right? I'm from the 1900s. Anybody else from the 1900s? You know, but we learn the word of God, and we learn songs like Father Abraham and This Little Light of Mine and Yes, Jesus Loves Me. And we learn the word of God, and it was written upon our hearts at young ages. And yeah, we may have messed up. Yeah, we may have had the messy middle, but we're back in God's house because God's word is true. Side note, you cannot protect your children from their testimony. Just as much as you have a testimony, our children are going to have a testimony. But if we get the word of God down in their heart early on, teach them the word of God. Talk to them about the Bible. Talk to them about prayer. What are you saying, Pastor Jonathan? I'm saying we have to stop outsourcing parenting. Well, I'm not good at math. You teach them math. I'm not good at sports. You teach them sports. I'm not good at the Bible. That's the church's job. How about we take some personal responsibility for the children God gave to us? And we teach them the word of God, that we pray with them. Teach them to prophesy over their siblings, to speak blessings over their siblings, to pray over their siblings. Yeah, my siblings blessed. I've been saying they'd be blessed since they were 5 years old. Yeah, yeah, they're good looking. They were ugly as a kid, but I kept saying God was going to make them good looking. That's why they're good looking today. Yeah, teach them to pray. We practice everything else when they're little. Here's your plastic car keys, your plastic kitchen, your plastic little car and phone, and here's your plastic grill like dad. You know how much plastic food I've eaten in my life? But we practice all that when they're 7 and 5, but we're not going to practice prayer till you're 15. We're not going to practice declaring and prophecy till you're 18 or 20. No, you play like you practice. And practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And so we want to write on the heart of our children when they're young the word of God. Teaching this to them, teaching them to pray. Well, prayer's boring, Pastor John. No, you are boring. Prayer's not boring. You are making prayer boring. Make prayer fun. Go on that 70-inch TV that you bought at Walmart and go on Google Maps and zoom in on grandmom's house and pray for grandma. Zoom in on your church and pray for your church. Zoom in on our nation's capital. Pray for our nation. Come on, our nation needs Jesus in prayer. Let's pray for it. I do this thing in my family called 60-second preach. It's where everybody has to run around the house, find an object, come back and preach on it for 60 seconds. This is how I get all my sermon illustrations as a pastor, right? So find ways to make prayer fun. Find ways to make it engaging and teach them how to receive the word of God. This is things we have to model in our home. Praying in front of our children. Do your children know the sound of a praying father in their home? Do they know the sound of a praying mother in their home? Or do they just know the sound of arguing or fussing or complaining? Because complaining is how we tell God we don't approve of how you're running our life. So we have to eliminate that. Our children need to hear us pray. They need to hear us worship. If your children only see you pray on Sunday, worship on Sunday, give on Sunday, serve on Sunday, to them, your faith will be religion. And the best place to raise an atheist is a religious home. I don't want to raise an atheist. I want to raise children that love Jesus and know Jesus and serve Jesus all the days of their life. So modeling love and modeling prayer, this is what it takes. Learning scripture. How can we be saved 10, 20, 30 years and not know one chapter of the Bible? This is a misappropriation of the word of God in our heart. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have grown children that doesn't wish they'd have put more scripture in the heart of their child when they were little. We can't stop external pressure. It's like this water bottle. The reason I can't crush it is because the pressure on the inside is greater than the pressure on the outside. If it was empty, I could crush it. What do, Pastor, with all the external pressure of life and society? You've got to put more word in your children. You've got to put more Bible in them, more love for Jesus in them, more presence of God in them, or they'll crush. How can they hold? How can they withstand? It's not getting rid of the external pressure. It's putting things in them. Jesus said, hide my word in your heart that you may not sin against the Lord. It's the word of God that keeps our children from falling into sin. Praying over them, declaring the word of God over them. And it takes an anointing. And you don't get an anointing because you watch the podcast. You don't get an anointing because you listen to a TikTok or Instagram reel. You get an anointing because you develop a history with Jesus. Time on your knees in the presence of the Lord. You win tests in private when no one's watching. And you go through things in your life to try to kill you and destroy you. When they don't kill you and destroy you, God gives you an authority and an anointing in those areas of your life. And the anointing costs what it costs, and it doesn't go on sale. You have to pay the full price to be anointed. And the reason every person in this room needs to be anointed to be a parent and a grandparent is because the anointing makes your words effective. This is why pastors have to pray and spend time with Jesus so that when they talk to the people, the words touch the hearts of the people. When you're not anointed, if you don't spend time with the Lord, you'll talk to your child, your teenager, and they'll look back at you like you're invisible. This will make you angry, frustrated. You'll say a lot of things that you don't mean and you don't hear what I'm saying. I'm talking to myself. It's one ear and out the other. You drive me crazy. You're so annoying because our words are of no effect. Most of the biggest frustrations in our life are because our words don't work. But when you spend time with Jesus, he anoints your words. And your words become as medicine in your home. And they heal your family. They heal your children. You could heal your spouse today with your words. And God anoints you. And your children start to say things like, I can't wait for dad to get home because when dad's home, he heals everybody. When mom's home, she heals everybody. And God lets you see the pain that's in the life of your children and your spouse. And your words become as the healing balm of Gilead. And you become a walking pharmacy of the love of Jesus in your home. And it heals your family. This is the price of parenting. It's not buying them things. It's time on our knees with Jesus. And then God gives you the gift of compassion. And compassion qualifies you to be a healer. Jesus was moved with compassion, and he healed all those with disease. And compassion has to be given. It is never earned. You don't earn compassion. It's something we give because Christ gave it to us. How many of you know what it's like to hurt your family with your words? I do. I've hurt my family with my words. I don't want to hurt them. I want to be a healer. I hurt my son Nicholas just the other week. I'd said something to him that out of anger and frustration, and I felt like I hurt him, and I was on a plane flying back, and the Lord reminded me of it. It sounded like my wife, but it was the Lord. And and so that Sunday, I was driving to church, and I told him, I said, I think I said something to you the other day. I think it hurt you, and I want you to forgive me. I was wrong. He's like, Dad, it's okay. I said, it's not okay, and that's why I'm apologizing. I said, while there's still a piece of you that thinks I'm a hero, I don't want to destroy that with my words. I need you to forgive me. It doesn't make you small to apologize to your family. It doesn't minimize you to say you're sorry. You know, one of the greatest gifts you could ever give your spouse is permission to correct you. You know, I've never had an amen about that anywhere in the world I've ever said that. I'm not talking about belittling you or tearing you down. I'm talking about going to your spouse in front of your children and saying, is there anything in my life that you see that's not like Jesus? Actually, this and this. Praise God, would you pray for me? I don't want to be like that. You know, just learning to be honest. You know, life begins when honesty begins. That's why for most of us, life doesn't begin until we're 40. It's about the age we can be honest. Teach your children to be honest. Model honesty. Honesty is heaven's soap. It's the penicillin to pride. It heals your heart when you're honest. And just learning to model it. You know, my wife would come to me and say, why can't you change the toilet paper holder in the toilet paper roll? My Lord, you are 46 years old. How old do you have to be to change this? Are we just going to have to live with this the rest of our lives? Why can't you do it? I used to point out things she would do. Now I just go, I don't know. I think I'm too lazy to get up and go all the way into the other room and get toilet paper. And if I leave just a little bit, then it's somebody else's problem. I clearly am dysfunctional, and I need you to pray for me. Just being honest. You know, if I walk in the house and go, guys, I've just had a bad day, just leave me alone. Hey, guys, mom's had a bad day, just leave her alone. Guys, just leave me alone. Then when they're teenagers, I've had a bad day, just leave me alone. But if I walk in the house and go, guys, I've had a day from hell today. I need you to pray for me. Guys, would you come around me? I've just really gone through it. I just need my whole family to pray for me. Then when they're teenagers, mom, dad, I've had a horrible day. Would you pray for me? How many of you would love your teenagers to say, mom, dad, would you pray for me? Mom, dad, is there something in my life that you see that's not like Jesus? These are things we have to model. Modeling forgiveness, modeling grace, modeling it to our homes, to our children, to our families. And we're going to make mistakes. We're going to blow it at some point. You know, my wife's like, I just want to just sometimes not be with the kids. You know, because kids want to own your soul. You know, they want to own every minute. You know, she's like, I just want to go to the bathroom by myself. Without people following me and putting their fingers under the door. Just to be alone with your spouse, because KIDS stands for keeping intimacy at a distance successfully. That's what KIDS stands for. You know, I know what it's like, but the days are long, but the years are short. And you blink, and the baby in the car seat now has the car keys. And you think, where did it go? You know, your children are the only thing you can take to heaven with you. Everything else in this world you believe behind. They are the treasure of heaven. And time with our children is never wasted. We're going to make mistakes. I made plenty of them. I'll tell you one or two. We were first-time parents, and, you know, my family's from the Bahamas, and so we had flown down to Orlando, and we were going to take a plane from Orlando to Nassau, and, you know, so you're first-time parents, so you're loaded down with all these things that you think you need, but you don't need, but you don't know that you don't need because you're first-time parents. So we got all this stuff, and we get out there, and we got the diaper bags and the strollers and the carry-ons and suitcases, and we're out on the tarmac, and we're going to take this little propeller plane over, and it's loud, and so last minute, she goes, I got to run to the restroom, and I said, okay, I'll give them everything. So I give them the diaper bag, not bag, bags, and the carry-ons and the stroller and everything, and she comes back, and she says, where's Alexander? And I said, you have Alexander. You took him with you. And she goes, I didn't take him. I don't have Alexander. And she looks, and she goes, oh, my gosh, you folded him up in the stroller. And I did. I didn't know he was in there. I thought she had him. And it was just this big stroller with a canopy, and you just turn it, and it just folds up. And they were getting ready to put him under the plane. So we've all made mistakes. My daughter, Penelope, she was, every time we'd go out to eat, as soon as we sat down, she'd knock over a drink. Instantly, like within 2 seconds, water, soda, juice. As soon as we sat down, boom, water everywhere. Everybody's got to get up, clean it up. The whole table's ruined. And I yelled at her once. I said, Penelope, you don't see the giant drink right in front of your face? And then we took her to the doctor and realized she needed glasses. She couldn't see it. And I'm like, Daddy loves you so much. I am so sorry. Couldn't see it. So we're going to make mistakes, and we need the Lord. We need His grace. We need His mercy. Teaching our children that God's first language is not English, or if you're Hispanic like my wife, it's not Spanish. But God's first language is visions and dreams. You know, it's only like two people in the whole Bible God spoke to audibly. Everybody else in the whole Bible God spoke to in visions and dreams. This is why our teenagers, our kids, our young adults don't always understand this. When we go to them, we say, what is God saying to you? And they go, God doesn't talk to me. Yeah, God talks to you, but you've got to sow into your dreams. You think God's going to waste 1/3 of your life? God wants to sow into your dreams. You've got to sow. You reap what you sow. If you watch horror films end up in your dreams. If you watch horrible things before you go to bed, horrible things end up in your dreams. But if you turn your family's heart and affection 30 minutes, 60 minutes before you go to bed towards the presence of God, then the presence of God ends up in their dreams. And they start to say things like, the Lord spoke to me. I saw Jesus. My daughter Victoria has seen the Lord twice in a dream. And every time she sees the Lord, she weeps uncontrollably. This child is so in love with Jesus. I've been asking the Lord to make me like her. Because the Bible says, the pure of heart shall see God. For her birthday, she wanted a Jesus doll. I think we have a picture of her with a Jesus doll. There she is. I'm not saying that's what Jesus looked like. That's the only one we could find. But if I FaceTimed her right now, she'd be holding that doll. When your children see Jesus, they never question the authenticity of his reality. Every parent, every grandparent should be saying, Lord, come to my child in a dream. It heals your child instantly. It rewires them when they see Jesus. Turn their heart towards the Lord. Turn the TV off, turn the phones off, and turn our family's heart and affection towards the presence of Jesus. Nothing great is ever going to happen to you while you're looking at a screen. Turn your family's heart towards the Lord. You know, I could take that child. She's the only one I have that I could do this with. I could take her into any store, and I'd be like, I'll buy you anything. She's like, I don't want anything. Anything. Victoria, get something. I'll buy you anything in this whole store. I don't want anything, Dad. See, because when you see Jesus, you lose your desire for the things of this world. You just lose them. And then her little sister Liliana's like, well, she's not getting anything. Can I have hers and mine? We're praying for Liliana to see Jesus. Kid compliments. I had on all white the other day, a white shirt and white pants, and she said, you look like a wall. Liliana told me that. And I said, a wall? She's like, but in a good way. I mean it in a good way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Liliana. I get how hard it can be. I get how challenging the questions. My Lord, the questions we have to answer as parents. When I get home tomorrow, every time I walk in my house, it's like a press conference. Every time I walk in, yes, Alexander, no, we're not eating that tonight. Yes, Nicholas, I answered that last week. Yes, Eliana, come back to me at 4 o'clock. Yes, Victoria. It's literally a literal press conference every time I walk in the house. I mean, you go, like, I need the grace of God to be able to do this. You need our family. We need grandparents. You know, in the book of Mark chapter 9, for the sake of time, I'll just paraphrase it, but there's a father who has a teenage son that's literally trying to take his own life. He's thrown himself in the fire and the water, and he's like, I don't know what to do with him. And Jesus finally says, bring the boy to me. This is what we have to do, parents. We have to get our kids to Jesus. We take them everywhere else. You know, the average family spends $2,300 to $2,700 a year on extracurricular activities. 400 to 500 hours a year on extracurricular activities. And the odds of your student taking that extracurricular activity with them into adulthood is 0.005% that your kid with that saxophone is going to be Kenny G. And I'm not saying they shouldn't do it. I'm not saying that my son plays football. I have to pay for him to play football, and then I got to pay to watch him play football. And sometimes he's not even playing. It's just me and him on the sideline watching other people play football. You know, I get all that, but none of that's their destiny. How many of you want your kids to reach their destiny? Raise your hands. How many of you would do anything to see them reach their destiny, right? So then what's their destiny? It's not just to make money, be famous, YouTube famous, TikTok famous. It's not just to make money and degrees and businesses. No, their destiny is Romans 8:29. For those the Lord foreknew, he also predestined that they should be conformed to be like Jesus. Our kids' destiny is to be like the Lord. How many of you want your kids to be like Jesus? Yeah, I want them to be like Jesus. Do we tell them when they're like Jesus? Are we investing in their walk with Jesus? Have we bought them anything all year that's about their destiny? Are we pouring into their destiny when they are like their destiny? Do we celebrate it and cheer it on? I want my kids to be like Jesus. I want them to love Jesus, love each other, and love me. I don't want to raise you for 20 years and you only want to talk to me 20 minutes a year. I want you to love your siblings. I want to raise the level of honor in my home. I want you to honor your parents and honor your grandparents. In fact, actually, is there grandparents in the room? If you're a grandparent, would you just raise your hand? Actually, could I ask you to stand, if you would? All the grandparents, would you just stand for a moment? Can we honor all the grandparents that are in the room? Wow. Would you just remain standing? Just for a second, remain standing. I want to say something to all the grandparents. I talk about this in my book, but if with suicide being one of the leading causes of death amongst teenagers in our nation, on average, 1,000 teenagers commit suicide every year in the state of Minnesota. With suicide being that predominant amongst teenagers, did you know it's a statistical fact that if teenagers have a healthy relationship with a grandparent, they have almost a 0% chance of suicide? Do you know why? Because grandparents are unconditional love. That's why when we, that's right, they're unconditional love. That's why when we get them back from you, we have to re-educate them. So maybe our kids don't need more medication. Maybe what they need is a healthy relationship with their grandparent. Would you stretch forth your hand to these grandparents? I just want to pray for them. Father, I pray for every grandparent. And Lord, I know that the enemy would lie to them and tell them that their words are diminishing with age. But I declare they will not diminish, but their words will increase, and that they will literally be a voice of legacy to their children and their grandchildren. I speak healing over their bodies and the best days of their life they have not yet lived. And I bless them, and that all of their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren will spend eternity with Jesus. In Jesus' name. Give them all a big God bless you. Come on, amen. You can be seated. You know, there's an all-out assault on our kids' identity today. You know, that's why we wrote the kids' books, God Made Me a Boy, God Made Me a Girl, because God did not make a mistake when he made you. You are fearfully and marvelously made. Somebody say amen about that. You're perfect. You're perfect. Just spending time together as a family. You know, just spending time together, talking. It's one of the hardest things it is to get people to do. That's why we do the talking point cards. Just getting people to talk. One of the questions is like, how did you get saved? Do your children know how you got saved? Tell them your testimony. If your Bible was a person, how would they say you treat them? What's something God told you to start you haven't started? Something stopped that God told you to stop you haven't stopped? Who in your family's first to forgive? For us, it's Victoria. I want to tell you, take time as a family just to talk. You know, so many times we go out to dinner, we're all on our phones, we're alone together. Just speak over each other. Father's Day, 4 years ago, I came in and I bought all my family a gift and I wrote down a prophetic word for every one of them. What I saw over them, a prophecy, profess what you see. What do you see in me, Daddy, when you look at me? What do you see in me, Mommy, when you look at me? You know how many people have never received a word from their parent? And if you're ever bullied in school, those are like demonic prophecies. You know, and many times demonic prophecies are so short you remember them. You're dumb, you're stupid, you're ugly, you're fat, you're annoying, we hate you. These are all demonic prophecies. And our kids can come home from school and they're silent, and then there we are silent. We can no longer afford to be silent. We've got to put a word against a word that when the enemy opens his mouth, we open ours and say, baby girl, you are fearfully and marvelously made. From the color of your skin to the texture of your hair, you are like Jesus. And we speak. Well, I'm not an absentee parent. You don't have to leave home to be absent. You can be in the car and be absent. You can be in the living room and be absent. You can be at the dining room table and be absent. God's not called us to be perfect, but he has called us to be present. God, help me be more present. Help me shape my family. Bless your kids at different times. My daughter Penelope loves Burger King. I got a picture of her eating a hamburger. They'll put it up. And I drove by a Burger King and I got her one. She likes everything on it, sauce, onions, everything. And I came back and I said, everybody come in here. I said, Penelope, Daddy got you a Whopper. And so they all come in and I gave her the bag. And she's like, oh, Daddy, I love you. Thank you. She sits down, starts eating it. And the rest of the kids are looking at me. Like, how is God in this at all? And I said, I want you to know how to celebrate when one of you gets blessed. Because as life goes on, you're not all going to be blessed the same day. You're not all getting married the same time, having babies the same time. God, you're not all going to buy new cars or homes or promotions the same time. And I want you to learn how to celebrate when God blesses one of you. Raise the level of honor in your home. Raise the level of honor. What's the old saying, thou shalt honor thy mother or thou shalt live somewhere else? Right? Raise the level of honor. I don't even let my oldest two sons sit down to eat until their sisters are served. What are you doing at the table? You're 6 foot. Get up and get your little sister her food. Why don't you want to do it? I know you don't want to do it, and that's why it's worship to Jesus. Worship is not singing songs. Worship is doing what God wants you to do when you don't want to do it. The very first mention of worship is Abraham taking his son to the mountain. He said, come, let us go to the mountain that we may worship. What was going to happen at the mountain? Sacrifice. Teach your children to serve each other. Because if there's anybody in life you don't want to serve, it's a sibling. David didn't go to the battlefield to kill the giant. He went to the battlefield to take lunch to his brothers. But when God can trust you to serve a sibling, he can trust you to serve his kids. This is what it takes. You know, thinking worship is just singing songs is like telling your kids to clean their room. Clean your room. And you come home and they didn't clean their room. And you go, you didn't clean your room. And they go, we didn't, but we wrote you a song about a clean room. And we'd like to sing that for you now. I think this is how God feels on some Sundays. He's like, I don't need another song about something you're not doing. Can you just love, forgive, be like Jesus? Come on, somebody say amen. Let's just live it out. I'm out of time. Let me leave you with this stat, and then we're going to pray. Let me read this to you, because this just wrecked me when I heard it. An extensive study in the United States found that the most productive age of human life, the years of your life you'll make your most money, are between 60 to 70 years of age. The second most productive stage of human life is 70 to 80. The third is 50 to 60. The average Nobel Peace Prize winner, 62. Average age of most prominent CEOs of companies, 63. Average age of the pastors of the 100 largest churches in America, 71. Most popes are 76. It goes on, but it tells us in a way, and it has been determined that the best years of human life, the most productive years of human life, are between 60 to 80 years of age, a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine. Right? Why are you bringing that up? Because if you're in your 20s, your 30s, and your 40s, these are not your money-making years. They're your parenting years. They're the years to pour into your family, pour into your children, pour into your spouse. I'm not saying to be lazy and slothful. I'm saying when you sell those years, you're selling them for the least money you'll ever make. Don't sell your birthright for a bowl of soup. Because one day you're going to have the money, but you can't go back and repair it. You can cram for a test. You're not going to cram parenting. You're not going to get to the end and be like, let me hurry up and try and get it all in. No, 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 no. Parenting is seed time and harvest. Do it now. Slow down. Hear me. I'm with you. Slow down. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, love is patient. God's speed is 3 miles an hour, they say, because it's the average speed a human being walks. Adam walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Walk with your children. Talk with them. Listen to me. Those of you that have little kids, look at me. I promise you, when you hug little kids, you'll be the first to let go. They don't let go first. We teach them hugs are 5 seconds, 10 seconds. If you hold a little kid 2 minutes, they'll hold you 2 minutes. It's like Jesus. When you spend time with Jesus, I promise you, you'll be the first to let go. Hold them. Kiss them. Tell them they're like Jesus. If I walk at my normal pace with my twin boys, I'll leave them behind. So love makes me slow down. And I hope you model this, because if you live long enough, you're going to need your kids to slow down for you. You're going to need them to slow down. Let me leave you with this story. You know, I jumped in a store the other day, and one of my twin boys jumped in front of a lady with a shopping cart, and she rolled her eyes, and when she did it, I said, I'm sorry. And it dawned on me, I didn't say, he's sorry. I said, I'm sorry. Because when our kids make mistakes, we own them. And the older they get, the more mistakes they make, and it doesn't take very long before you start to feel like you're a bad parent. And the one thing we want to be great at in this world is the one thing nobody ever tells us we're good at. It's a great mom and a great dad. And so for all the moms in here, I want to tell you, you're a good mom. For all the dads in here, I want to tell you, you're a good dad. You're doing better than you think you are. You give yourself grace. For kids making mistakes means we're a bad parent. Then that means God's a bad parent. Because I'm one of his kids and I've made a lot of mistakes. Give yourself grace. My daughter, Isabella, we went to Disney several years ago and she wanted a little Minnie Mouse ring. I'll share this and we'll pray. They're playing something romantic for me. And she found this little Minnie Mouse ring, and so she came up to me with dimples in her sparkly eyes and said, can I have it? And I said, how much is it? I don't know what it costs, $175,000 at Disney. And I looked, I said, no, we're not getting anything. Put it back. And we're leaving, because once one gets one, they all want it, and it's crazy. So we left. It was in November. And I asked my wife, I said, take them down a little further. I'm going to go back and get her that little Minnie Mouse ring. And so on Christmas morning, I don't know why I get emotional when I tell this story, but on Christmas morning, I said, Isabella, come here. And so she came over, and I gave her the little box. And what was so beautiful is when she opened the box, she saw the ring. And when she saw the ring, she dropped the ring and grabbed me. And it taught me in that moment that God will give you the desires of your heart as long as when you get it, you're willing to drop it to grab him. Hold Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a praise. Amen. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with me? I want to pray for you. And we're just going to pray, and I'll be out in the lobby. I'd love to sign any of the books you want. I'd love to write a prophetic word. But invest in your kids' destiny. Pray with them. Love them. Squeeze them. Kiss them. They won't always fit in your arms. They won't always fit. But today they do. Would you bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment? If you're here and you say, Pastor Jonathan, would you pray for me? There's something I need to give to Jesus. I need to surrender something to the Lord. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you do. But you're just saying, Pastor, would you pray for me? I've been holding on to something that maybe I need to let go of to hold Jesus. If that's you, I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to slip your hand up high and unashamed. That's one. If you're contemplating it, that's the Lord speaking to you. That's two. And you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. That's three. Come on, slip that. Wow, look at all the hands. Thank you, Lord. Hundreds of hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, how about we just all pray this prayer together, right? Because a family that prays together stays together. Come on, everybody say like you mean it. Say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you really lived, that you really died, and you really came back to life. And may I let go of things that I may hold you. Help me be what you have called me to be in Jesus' name. Come on, if you love him, church, can you give the Lord a big praise today? Come on.